bless the 3A starting the playoffs last week here in local high school football. Seems like every game in the lower level was close. Every game in the upper level was not. So we're thankful that we had some of those games to talk about. We'll hope that this week is a little bit more competitive. I'm Case Kiefer alongside Ray Brewer, as always, on Prep Sports Now. Ray, even some of the games we thought might be okay on the upper level did not turn out that way. I guess the one that sticks out like a sore thumb right away would be Basic getting shut out 41-0 against Canyon Springs, and also Legacy easily handles Sierra Vista. So it was kind of a night full of upsets last Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, not upsets. Night full of non-upsets.
Yeah, I think it highlights the divide a little bit. We saw the teams that are powers, Arbor, Liberty, Gorman, all, have relatively easy times. I think Spring Valley might have tied the game late in the first quarter against Arbor View. But other than that, it's, the divide. I watched Liberty play an El Dorado team that, God bless all those kids, had a few good pieces, but just not enough of them, and a few kids that were probably undersized, and that's being polite. And you just hope that somebody that gets paid to organize high school sports in Nevada watches what's going on and says, well, maybe it's time to fix it, or let's just have Arbor, Gorman, and Liberty play each other 8 times and make it best of 7 or whatever. While I'm talking, CK.
That'll be a sweep, too.
Yeah, but while I'm talking, I can't believe you didn't lead with this.
Uh-oh. I don't know where you're going.
Who gets the biggest shout-out from last Friday?
Probably, I know where you're going with this. My guy, Jaden Perkins?
Perkins was a beast, but no.
Okay.
What about your guy, Chris Sawyers?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Sunrise Mountain?
Well, I did kind of. I mean, I knew. I just thought we'd touch on how uncompetitive the top were, and then we'd get into the low, and that starts, I think, with Sunrise Mountain knocking off Moapa Valley 30-28.
They went into Overton and beat Moapa.
In the first round of the playoffs. In the playoffs.
Unbelievable. I mean, especially, look 5 years ago, right? Moapa is not just the best team in the 3A. They're one of the best 7 or 8 teams in the state, right? Sunrise Mountain, they're trying to find enough shoelaces for kids. They're 0-whatever. Remember, they're beating JV Shap for their lone win of the season, or the lone win in like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, most of the games were like 60-0, 56-6. It was bad.
So what a huge dub for Chris Sawyers and the boys over at Sunrise. That's just what a great, absolutely great story. I'm glad that they're in that lower league where they could thrive.
Yeah, and I think, one thing that also – a couple things that stood out about that were, it was 30-28, so it was a good game, but Sunrise Mountain really was in control. They had a scary moment. I think Moapa might have scored with like 3 or 4 minutes left. They kind of had to run out the clock, but they were up 2 scores, so they had some cushion. This wasn't like some miracle at the end of the game. I mean, the Miners went out there and beat them. Like you said, shout out to Chris Sawyers, who I've always been very high on, which is part of the reason why I thought Sunrise Mountain was going to be on the come up. Another thing that stood out to me is all the kids he was telling me about, the guys that had big games, I think like more than half of them were juniors. So I think that this is just kind of the start of something for Sunrise Mountain. I know they have some really good seniors. Maybe they're probably their leader this year, Trayvon Ward, is a senior, but I think their quarterback.
I think that kid's a junior, actually.
Oh, he is?
I looked him up. Cause
Tyree Hayes is definitely a junior, and a bunch of the other kids are juniors. So, I mean, Sunrise, they're going to play Desert Pines this week. They lost 35-7 earlier in the year, but they feel like they can play with them. They're convinced it's going to be closer. Of course, they're going to be an underdog, but I think this is a thing where this is going to be a program to watch here over the next little bit.
Totally agree, and I think Sunrise thinks they could play with DP. I think it's going to be one of the good games. Virgin Valley, they're in a slugfest with Pahrump, right? And the Perkins kid, your guy.
I thought that's where you're going. This is like 3 weeks in a row where he's had like over 300 yards.
Yeah.
That's kid's unbelievable.
Yeah, and they get a Mojave team this week who, And I was shocked when I read this in Granger's story, but Mojave beat Virgin in Virgin like 29-0 earlier this year.
29-0. I remember they won. I did not remember it being 29-0. Wow. Well, there you go. So another rematch there. Seems like a lot of the games on that.
And winners go to the state semifinals. So
gotcha. So one going north?
One goes north and one stays home. If DP wins, it stays home. And then the winner of the Virgin Mojave game would go up north.
Well, there you go. Those are going to be some ones to watch. Like I said, I think at this point we kind of expect those games to deliver. It's just a question now of can any of the games on the upper level be better than last week? What do you think? We've got a couple candidates again. I saw Legacy beats Sierra Vista handily. They go to Arborview. Granger, as you mentioned, has been high on Canyon Springs all year. They're hosting Green Valley. I think you still probably make Green Valley the favorite in the game, but those two would seem to be the close ones this week.
Yeah, if you know, go all the way back to August when we kind of talked about our preseason top 10, Granger had Canyon like
3 or something.
Ridiculous. He was like, bring on
three.
Gorman.
I
yeah.
really think it was 3.
And shoot, they delivered 41-0 against Basic, a team that had some injuries, but still, you know, Canyon soundly beat them. Diamante Burton is unstoppable. Reminds me, and maybe some of the listeners know, Case, this is probably pre-Kiefer, but when Greg Murphy was at Valley, maybe late 1990s, early 2000s, Valley was, you know, middle of the road. Not quite where they're at now, but middle of the road on the big level. And they had a really good mobile quarterback, and he literally led them to the state championship game. And the Diamante Burton kid reminds me of that. He's so versatile, so quick, so shifty. And you wonder if Green Valley has the speed to keep up with it. We know Green Valley's going to throw the rock around. We know Green Valley's won close games. We know Green Valley plays at that quick pace. But is Green Valley going to be able to guard the speed of Diamante Burton? Is one player enough to get Canyon through to face Liberty? Because I think the narrative, even by me all year, has been Green Valley, Liberty, let them play at the end and see what happens. Right?
Certainly by you, not by me. But you have said that all year.
You've
been consistent with that.
I've been consistent. And I just think that Canyon, we don't know much about because they played in the Northeast, and we talked about this all year, right? Did Canyon get better playing Rancho? Did Canyon get better playing Eldo? Right? They're killing these teams. Bad word, but they're destroying these teams. It's not close. So we don't know. We can't put much stock into their victory, you know, aside from beating Basic twice. And that's not really an accomplishment this year. What have they done?
Yeah, well, we will find out this week. I mean, I think just Basic, this is kind of a shot to your theory if you have to be playing good teams, because Basic played one of the toughest schedules in town, and they just got run out of the building by a team that's not banged up, that hasn't played a game in a month and a half. One thing that stood out to me is I think every year Canyon Springs and Burton is – this isn't taking anything away from Burton. He's absolutely exceptional, obviously their guy. He had almost 300 yards. But we always think of Canyon Springs as having no depth, low on numbers. It's always one or two guys. But there's a lot of guys doing it for him. You look at the stats. He completed passes to 7 different guys. All had more than 20 yards. Just seems like the up and down the roster, they might have a little bit more than we've been accustomed to in past years, and playing defense as well. I agree with you in the sense that it's hard to tell in the regular season just how good they are with the teams they played, but I think this was a big hint that they might be even better than we expected.
So we agree, I guess, and I'm speaking for you, which I love to do, but we agree that the closest large school classification game of the week of the 4 in the South would be Green Valley at Canyon.
Definitely. I'm torn. I don't know what way I'm going on this one.
Okay, and then I would say the runner-up in battles would be your Legacy Longhorns.
Easy, my Legacy Longhorns.
At Arborview, because in terms of physicalness, in terms of good play from the tailbacks, they kind of match up man for man.
Yeah, I mean, Legacy has a lot of players. This is the first time I saw them was the 49-21 win over Sierra Vista. And it's just like, if you watch closely, it's every play. It's someone else is impressing you. I know you've really loved their tailback all year, the Aubrey Washington kid. I think he touched the ball like twice in the first half. Then they decided, according to John Isola, it was a mistake. They're trying to do something else. They ended up just running him in the second half, and he ran wild. He was great, but Valenzuela made some really good throws. And defensively, I think this team, I don't know, I don't follow recruiting as close to you, but I think a couple of these kids certainly are going to be playing on Saturdays in college. I was really impressed with some of their defensive kids. One of the highlights of the year I've probably seen is by Amir Foster. They're really good linebacker. He was on a blitz, just read a screen and just sat where the screen was going to be. The kid's pretty short, leapt and just made a one-handed interception and returned it for a touchdown. It was incredible. And I mean, that was just one defensive highlight. So I think they really got some guys, and I think they have Arborview's attention. They hung with Arborview, lost by two touchdowns. But I can tell you, Arborview is not overlooking this team. Arborview's concerned. I think it's going to be a competitive
and
game.
And see, I think the fact that Arborview is concerned, and we're going to get Arborview's best, right? When I saw them against Faith, maybe they weren't taking Faith serious, right? And they were down whatever it was, 9-0 at the half or 9-0 towards the end of the first half. But I think the fact that Legacy's on Arbor's radar might change things. Arbor had a 28-14 victory earlier in the season. Stats-wise, though, it was a little closer than that. I think this is a really good mid-November, cool playoff, Las Vegas-style game. And what I mean by Las Vegas-style, and all my old-school homies will tell you this, CK, in Vegas, you know what we do?
What? I don't know.
We strap on the helmets and we run the rock. If you look at all our good players and how football was, you get yourself a tailback, you get 3 yards in a cloud of dust, you hit that sled Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
So you play like it's 1945.
This is how the game's going to look, Case. This isn't going to be.
We'll see. Both
Faith Gorman.
I think both these teams throw a lot more than you want to
under
admit.
Under.
And I know they'll back me on this.
I'm telling you right now. Ice is going to tell Roberto, bro, get ready to hand off to the left.
Roberto was 11 for 18 in the first game for 205 yards. They did have a yardage advantage that everyone is talking about. It's almost entirely because they threw the ball well. They did not run the ball well on Arborview. They had, it looks like, 3 yards a carry, which is not going to win you any
games.
So they beat Arborview in the stats the first game by throwing, not by acting like it was 1945.
So if you're Ice, are you just going to throw the rock around and see what happens?
No, I think, I mean, look.
Let's
be
really
real.
Around.
There's going to be a split. The running game is going to be more, but Arborview can throw too, and they get angry when we say otherwise.
Oh,
Legacy
I know.
Is going to throw the ball. I think there's going to be more passing.
If I'm Legacy, though, and I know Arbor will get mad when I say this, if I'm Legacy, like, if you beat me throwing the rock, you beat me throwing the rock. I'm putting 9 guys in the box, and we're going to make tackles. Let's go. Go ahead. Give you one-on-one on the outside. Throw it. Do what you got to do. If you score, you score.
I'm
not going to let Arborview beat me running the rock. Because Arborview, as I quote the man, Dan Barnson, is going to do what they do, and that's running the rock. And if I'm Ice Isola, I'm lining up and saying, run it right at my guy, whatever, your guy that had the pick six. I'm telling that
Amir Foster.
Amir Foster is going to have 15 tackles. And I'm telling him we're going to take that bus right to Gorman next Saturday and let's go.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with that. I mean, of course you can adjust, but I do think that's what you have to do is you have to try to challenge Arborview to pass. If they hit some big ones on you right away, you can adjust. I mean, it's a football game. It's not where you're in that the whole way. I agree with you on that. I just think Legacy – look, I don't think it's any secret. They're angry. They're disappointed they lost to Arborview in the first game, but they think they found some things out. And if you look at the stats and you talk to them, where they found some things out was in the passing game, not the running game.
So let me ask you this. You know me, Case. I'm big into mentally, right? Like mentally, Do you think Foothill thinks they could beat Liberty? Probably not.
They did maybe a better chance just because they kept it close in the first half, the first time around.
They did. Unique circumstances.
And maybe I just
did.
Have Foothill colored glasses on, but they seem like a pretty mentally like strong team to me. It seems like they believe in themselves.
Do you think Faith thinks they could beat Gorman?
No.
Do you think Legacy thinks they could beat Arbor?
Absolutely. Maybe it's just because I was around them, but I know they think they can beat Arbor.
And that's the thing I've always liked about Legacy. Even when they play the G, what do? Let's go eat. We got a chance.
Yeah, I think here's the big but to all of this that I can't believe it took us this long to get to, and why I think Arbor U has to be a little bit bigger favorite than you might think is, and I know it was just one game that I saw, but I think the Legacy game I went to last year was also like this. They just made so many mistakes. I mean, it was a penalty every other play. And I think that's what lost them the first Arbor View game, is just too many mistakes. I just feel like they're more mistake prone than Arbor View. We've seen this come and bite teams in the past. I think Legacy might have had 130 or 120 penalty yards last week.
Totally
that's just
agree.
Not going to work against Arbor
totally
View.
Totally agree. If Legacy wants to beat Arbor, they cannot have the mistakes. They cannot have the penalties. If they play a clean game, anything could happen. If they make all these mistakes, Arbor's going to win. It's that simple. You know, I mean, it's any football, but with this game, Legacy needs to be disciplined, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's any football, but it's a real thing that some teams have more of a reputation and a lot of times earned that, you know, they make more mistakes. And I think –
remember
I don't
Liberty
think I'm being
used to be that team?
Yeah, and I don't think I'm being unfair to Legacy about that, though. I mean, that's kind of, for lack of a better word, their excuse for why they've lost some of these games the last couple of years is they've made too many mistakes. So you got to cut down on them sometime, and now would be a good place to start.
Totally agree. Let's Gorman, seventh straight shutout. They beat Palo. Claiborne had a pick six or a scoop and score, one of the two. Do you think Gorman gives up a point the rest of the year?
Yeah, definitely.
Is it this weekend?
Someone's going to score.
Is it this weekend? Is it to Faith? Thursday, I'm sorry. All games are on Thursday this week.
I would say Faith Lutheran scores.
Okay. Cause
I think – I'm not 100% sure. I'm 100% sure they give up some points by the end of the year. I think Faith Lutheran will break through. I mean, they've – I think they've got enough guys. They've got enough explosive
okay,
guys.
Okay, so take me back here, CK. You're smarter than me.
Debatable.
I might have smarts and a few things on you, but in terms of X's and O's, you're more football savvy. You're better. Your vocabulary is off the charts.
Okay.
At the beginning of the year, put your brain back. All right. What was it about Gorman that we were a little worried about? We said, okay, Gorman is again going to be good. They're plugging a plane, but this is a huge weakness.
I just thought it was that they lost everyone.
Including many of their, I feel like it's a game show. We should have talked about this ahead of time.
Yeah.
On Jeopardy.
Their defense?
Their defensive backs.
Okay.
Remember,
they
graduated Bolden and Perry, the kid that went to Reno.
I actually think we argued about this, though, because I remember I said that we said the same thing 2 or 3 years ago, and all those kids came up.
Yeah, as sophomores. But this year, they've had to move, like, the Jalen Naylor kid defense as well. Their secondary is not, like, world-renowned. Now, what does Faith do well?
Well,
what does Faith do well?
They throw
the ball.
But just because the kids aren't five-star recruits, I think that we could say they're renowned by what they've done in the last several weeks.
Our guy Sagan Groer.
Grown hour.
First of all, Faith hasn't lost since Scarron Arbor in September, right?
Wow, I can't believe it's been that long, but I got to say you're right. They snuck out that Palo game after that.
They're slinging the ball around like it's nobody's business. Dalton Kincaid has all of a sudden gone from an afterthought behind Elijah Cody to a kid who's getting Division II offers, right? And the one thing I can't get over, CK.
Peyton Thornton leads a team in receptions.
I can't believe you mentioned that Palo game, because I was gonna make an argument for Faith putting up a fight, because they put up a fight last year. the one thing, and I tell Vernon this multiple times, I got a ton of respect for what they're doing, because I watch so many teams play Gorman, and what do? They don't run any of their own stuff. They try to onside kick every play. They don't punt. They run different formations. Who knows what they're doing? You know what?
The onside kicker punting, I'm totally down with. I would run my offense, but you need all the luck you can get. They have no chance.
I totally get it. But when you're on your own five, are you going to go for it? Either way.
Okay.
But Faith runs its hurry up, got the ball down the field, scored against Gorman. They're not going to change. And I told Vernon I love that about him. I love what you do. But now I can't – you had to bring up that Palo game. I cannot believe that Faith almost lost to Palo. I remember this. It was on the religious holiday, Saturday. I don't know. Either way.
I think they'll score. I don't think they're going to keep it close. I think that – I agree with you. I like they run their offense. One thing I absolutely would say would just be foolish to do, the words that you used, is if you're running the hurry up against Gorman, that's ridiculous. Run your offense, but take your time.
I get it.
You do not want more possessions and more plays. You got to increase the randomness as high as you can.
I mean, I think there's one thing in terms of going hurry up and getting to the line, but not hiking it.
Yeah, I don't know. I do say that Faith Lutheran will score. I think that's the big question of this game, and I'm going to say yes.
Should we make that pick number 7 on our picks? Will Faith score, yes or no?
Well, I think we're both going to be on the same side.
Yes.
Spoiler alert. So.
Okay, you hear that, Gorman? They're doubting you. Okay. You want to do the picks? I think the only team we haven't touched on is Liberty.
Yeah, and you went to their game. So
what did I see? I mean, I saw a team that is playing a national schedule compete against a team that's, you know, should be playing Moapa Valley. You know, I saw a Division I quarterback throw for 3 touchdowns. I tell you what, Kenyon Oblad made a really bad throw. First play. Oh, I just moved your microphone.
All good.
First play of the and I just spit at you.
Didn't see that.
Yeah. First play of the game. So Eldo kicks off. Kicker can't get the ball to the end zone. Pick your favorite Liberty player. He returns it to like the 38, to the Eldo 38. And then first play, Oblad drops back the pass. It's a little windy. He throws one up. It gets stuck in the wind a little bit. The Eldorado kid has got the ball. He's going to make an interception and even return it. And what happens? Hits off the kid's hand, into the Liberty kid's hand, touchdown 7-0. And for Liberty to beat Gorman, which, let's be honest, that's where all roads lead, right?
You would certainly think so.
Unless Diamante Burton is...
Liberty has struggled with Canyon.
Adrian Peterson. They have struggled with a much different Canyon. But Kenyon Oblad can't throw an interception on the first play like he did in the state game against Gorman. Liberty has to find that perfect game. Liberty has to get back to what it does. Balanced offense. Remember a few years ago, Liberty had, maybe it was last year, but they were killing everybody throwing and running the ball, right?
Are they not this year?
I just don't feel that right now Liberty, because they've been killing everybody. Are they that well-oiled machine? Now, defensively, I'm told that it's their best defensive team. And this obviously isn't the Tate Martell Gorman. I don't know why we're breaking them down a game that's 3 weeks.
And they haven't given up a touchdown in 6 weeks.
Liberty?
Yeah.
Gorman's got them beat 7 weeks.
Well, okay. Still, I think that defensively, you could say, their defense has outscored opposing offenses in league play easily.
Liberty's defense is good. It's just, it's tough to make an evaluation on a team when you see them against Eldorado, right?
Yeah, I agree with you on that, but they've played some decent teams, too.
Who?
The whole Southeast is good.
Yeah.
If you're saying it's not, then there's no good teams in town.
Well, no.
Then no one's schedule matters, because all the only
I'm just saying the divide this year has been so brutal. Coronado and Silverado were, for all intents and purposes, awful, right?
Okay, well, they
Basic had a down year.
All right, well, they still beat the other two teams then that you put it down to by – what is this, 92 to 20?
Well, there you go.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
All right, well, we already hinted at this game. We'll start the picks. Faith Lutheran at Bishop Gorman. I think Faith Lutheran scores, but Gorman wins easily.
So you've picked against Gorman against local competition once in the Sanchez era, right?
I did, yeah. I picked against them once.
You picked, was it Palo you picked?
Yeah.
In that?
I didn't think they were. I thought they had a chance.
Which, was this the famous Thanksgiving weekend game?
There you go, the once a week mention in 2010.
Was that not just the best high school game you've ever been to?
No, it was not the best high school game I'd ever been to. And I don't think it would be in the top 10. It was like 21-3.
No, but
it was an exciting first half.
The first half was great. There was a ton of people there, two big names,
yeah,
back and forth.
Yeah, I'm not hating on it. I just, it wasn't that great.
Not even in the top 10?
No.
What's the best?
Gorman won easily.
What's the best high school game you've been to?
That Gorman game last year against the Florida team that now I can't remember their name.
Cocoa Beach?
No.
Miami Central? No.
I mean, it was the game of the year.
Oh, that was on TV.
Yeah, I just can't remember the name. I just can't remember the school.
Okay. Or a game you played in that at all, top 10?
The one I remember the most was when I was in eighth grade, maybe like the number two ever. Mm-hmm. I was in eighth grade, and our school won the state championship, and they came back from 21-0 at
Wichita
halftime.
Collegiate?
Yeah.
Before you got there?
Yeah, well, I was there. It was a middle school, too, so I was in middle school. Oh, I was okay. At the game, but they beat a team. There's a book written about them called Our Boys, Smith Center. That would be my number two. My number three, this is all just off the top of my head. The first year I was here, there was a Palo-Cimarron game that went into double overtime and came down to like a blocked extra point. It was absolutely amazing.
Oh, that was a TV game, if I remember.
Yeah, it was a TV game on Thursday. Yeah. And then the Gorman something.
Kahuku?
No. Oh, no, it wasn't.
Oh,
it was Bingham.
Bingham,
yeah. That's my top five
crazy.
Right there.
Where Sanchez had, there was that, he got that free kick, right?
Yeah,
unheard of.
Okay, there's my top five.
Mm-hmm. Good. I can't. I mean, I'm.
You've been
12,
to too many.
You're what? How old are you?
Too old.
You're 12 years younger than me, right?
10 years.
10 years?
Yeah.
What year did you graduate?
From high school? 2005.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you're 11 years older than me.
Okay.
Younger than me.
Younger, yeah.
I got a lot more body of work to shift through. Plus, you know. I mean, not that this is our memory podcast. Maybe we do that in the off season, but that Gorman game in Texas last year, just because it was Texas and there was a lot of people there.
Yeah. See, I think maybe your rankings, this is just trying to sort through. Me, I'm always, no matter what, going to lean towards the best games. Seems like you're going more for environment.
Yeah, you know
those
me.
Are your top
I'm more
two.
Of an emotional, environmental.
But all those games I just mentioned had, well, Palo-Cimarron wasn't that great. All the other ones had great
was
environments,
it,
too.
Was it Palo-Cimarron or Legacy-Cimarron?
Oh, it was
Legacy-Cimarron. Yeah.
My bad.
It was on TV, though.
Yeah, but the very next week, Legacy also beat Palo. That's why I got confused.
And I remember
it was
that 7-0 at Palo. And I didn't remember interviewing Darwin after the game.
He was not happy.
Yeah, and it was like me and Killer. And I was like, yeah, what went wrong? He was just like, weight room. I was like, what do you mean, weight room? He's like, weight room. I'm like, oh, does that mean that Legacy was stronger than you guys? And he was like, training. And I'm like, all right, great. I got some one-word answers. Anyways, picks. I got Gorman.
Can't believe I didn't remember this, but St. Thomas Aquinas was last year 25-24 in triple overtime.
ESPN.
Yeah.
Ollie Walsh, two-point conversion.
I don't think that'll ever be topped. That was number one. All right, Gorman, though, I don't think this game's going to be in any top whatever.
But we agree that Gorman's probably going to get scored on.
Yeah, I think Faith Lutheran scores just once. We've both got Gorman. The big one.
Can I give you one more prop bet?
All right.
Running clock, yes or no?
Yes.
I'm going
to. Is there a running clock in the playoff?
There is.
Okay, I was going to say, no, I thought it was a trick question. No,
it was
because
a
there isn't in the
I didn't
playoffs.
Think there was. And then when I was at the Liberty game and they scored like 21 points in 4 minutes, I commented to the Liberty athletic director or athletic administrator, like, hey, running clock in playoffs? And he was like, yes. And I almost jumped out of my seat and hugged the guy.
But I thought the game I was at, it was only short-lived because then Sierra Vista scored, but Legacy went up 35, which is a running clock now, right? And it did not – it didn't go. Maybe the schools have to agree to it, or I don't know.
Maybe if there's a player who may be physically injured if the game continues.
I don't know. I know Legacy was up 35 for a stretch, and it did not the running clock did not enact. But either way, okay, past the prop bets and on to one of the big games, Legacy at Arborview. What are you giving the Longhorns' chance at an upset?
I think if they ran the game 10 times, Arbor would win 8 out of 10. Again, Legacy's got to be flawless with the errors and mental mistakes. And this isn't the Casey Hughes Legacy team. I think that Arbor beats them, but it's going to be a good game and it's going to be close. And if I'm Arbor, I want to put them away in the first half, because if you get those kids to halftime, you're in trouble.
I was going to say 7 out of 10. So I guess I think Legacy has a little bit better chance, and I think that'll be reflected in my pick. I'm going to pick out a closer game, but I'm ultimately going to have to go Arborview. Arborview has beat them 6 times in a row, which to me I would have thought it was even more. I remember when Legacy beat them, but Legacy's fired up. I think they're going to have a good performance. I think they will cut down on the mistakes, but not quite enough. I think the Aggies will play better than the first time and eke out a victory to get back to that Sunset regional championship game against Bishop Gorman, which leads us to Foothill and Liberty.
You know, I'm intrigued by this game. I think that Foothill is obviously a significant upgrade in competition for Liberty. Foothill, for all intents and purposes, beat Green Valley until the final 4 or 5 minutes. They went over to Vegas last week and really just destroyed Vegas.
42-14.
In my heart of hearts, I think Foothill is going to keep it close, but it's going to get cold out there, and the first time they get smacked around, I think they might fumble a little bit. I got Liberty rather convincingly.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to say that Foothill can make this a game, but I just don't see it. Maybe they hang with them for a little while again, but I think they have Liberty's attention even more because of how the first game went, so I'm going to go Liberty big as well. I guess the game of the week, we already agreed to, just competitive-wise, probably the closest, Green Valley and Canyon Springs.
Yeah, and this is a game that I've been thinking about since not only Friday night when the matchup became official, but as it looked like they were going to match up with each other. And I've had this narrative for 4 podcasts in a row about Canyon and not playing anybody. And then I just saw what they did to Basic, man, right? And I'm like, maybe we haven't been giving Granger, Hot Take Granger, enough credit for what he did at the beginning of the year. And listen, I can't get past Green Valley, you know, struggling a little bit against Foothill before turning it on. I think sometimes they're a second-half team, and that's a bad formula. I'm going with Canyon, totally bucking all my trends this year, but I figure we got a different one game, so I'm taking the Pioneers. I'll take the best player on the field.
Yeah, I don't think you're crazy at all. I am, however, going to be different. I'm going with Green Valley. They've shown time and time again that they are ready for these close games. They've always been able to eke them out. I agree with you that Burton probably is the most valuable player on the field, but you know, you got to be impressed with Green Valley. Finds a way to get it done. I think this is another game that's going to require that. And I think ultimately they'll do it. You have Canyon Springs in a close game. I'm going to have Green Valley in a close game.
Should be the game of the week, though.
Should be.
Get your popcorn ready.
All right. Well, maybe this game will have something to say about that. Maybe either of these two lower-level games to get into the semifinals will. Mojave at Virgin Valley. You already gave us some of the history. 26-0 when Mojave went to Virgin Valley earlier in the year. They have to go back now. I can't believe Virgin Valley didn't even score on them. That's just crazy.
Yeah, I think the one – we've kind of discredited some of the Jimmys and Joes that Mojave has. And listen, Virgin's obviously a great story. They've got arguably the 3A player of the year in the Perkins kid. And
no, arguably. Scratch arguably.
Well, I don't know. I was thinking statewide. I don't know what's up north, but I cannot. Maybe I'm in love with tailbacks that rush for hundreds of yards. And even knowing what I know about the score of the first game, I cannot pick against Virgin. I'm taking the Bulldogs. I just can't picture Mojave in a state semifinals.
We would have said the same thing about Shap a few years ago.
Totally agree. And listen, they got in by a Hail Mary times eight the first year.
I'm trying to make sense of this game. It's still tough for me.
Did Perkins not play in that first game?
No, he did, and he had a ton of yards, too. 193 yards he had in the game.
But they didn't score.
Between rushing and receiving, they didn't score. They had more yards than Mojave.
Mojave
had a 100-yard interception return, a 70-yard touchdown run from Tawi Walker, which isn't strange. You probably expect him to break one like that every game. But it just seems like kind of a wild result. I'm totally torn right now. I don't know which way I'm going.
Well, here's the deal. What's important of that initial meeting, 26-0, was that was in Mesquite. The game
makes it more impressive.
Yeah, and the game, of course, on Thursday night will be in Mesquite. I had to think part of the travel to get there. That's like driving to Utah, even though Mojave's in North Las Vegas, so they're on the 15 pretty quick, but.
I came into here thinking I was picking Virgin Valley. Then you reminded me of the score, and I was like, okay, I'm flipping to Mojave. Now the more I think about it, I think I'm going back to Virgin Valley. I say close game, less than a touchdown, but I think the Bulldogs are going to have something to prove here, losing that badly in the first game. I think this is the Ray Brewer coin flip of the week, as far as I'm concerned. Could go either way, but I'm going to go with Virgin Valley. I think that's the right way to go here.
I obviously don't disagree with you.
Okay. Sunrise Mountain at Desert Pines. How much of a chance do you give the Miners here, who, like I said, they lost 35-7 earlier in the year to DP, but they legitimately think they played their worst game of the season. They had a bunch of turnovers, I think penalties too. You know, is this another Arborview Legacy type situation where if Sunrise has the perfect game like Legacy, they could maybe shock the world a second week in a row?
Yeah, I think Sunrise is going to have to play near perfect, and DP is going to have to overlook them, which they could considering the result of the first game. I will tell you this. I talked with Coach Rodriguez from Desert Pines Friday night, and he's got a ton of respect for what they do at Sunrise, and he rattled off three or four of their guys who are really impressive. The Trayvon Ward kid at running back could break one free at any time. So I got DP, but I think this is going to be a closely contested game.
Yeah, you know, and this is no disrespect to Desert Pines, who I've loved watching their rise too, but you know I've been on Sunrise from the beginning of the year. I love that team. I'll be rooting for them to at least make this competitive. And if there was any way I could do it, I would pick them, but I just can't. I think from what we've seen from Desert Pines, they've been consistently very good lately. I just haven't seen anything that makes me think they're going to be not up for this game or not ready to put on a great performance. So I got to go with the Jaguars. But I hope the Miners prove me wrong and at least make this competitive, if not threaten for the upset.
Good. Yeah, we agree on a lot.
All right. Well, we're winding down here on high school football season. Who would have thought? But we'll be back a couple more weeks to sort all this out, what we learn on Thursday night, off on Friday for Veterans Day. For Ray, I'm Case. Thanks for listening to Prep Sports Now.